Hello, listeners. Today, my guest is Emma Luck, and she is a graduate from 2005. Welcome, Emma.
Hi, how are you going?
Good, I'm well. And I'm going to introduce you because you, as a perioperative nurse and perioperative nurse educator, I have no idea what that is. Can you tell me about it? What do you do?
Yep. So perioperative is not a term that people who don't work in industry often hear about. So it's essentially everything to do with the patient's surgical journey, excluding the wards. So it's from admissions to anaesthetic care, the role that I used to do every day, which I've stepped back from being an educator, which is the circulating instrument nurse role. So you are the assistant to the surgeon, to recovery. So it's the full facet of care.
Okay. And so in surgery, how long can a don't know if it's called a shift, but how long can you literally be in surgery for?
Days.
Really?
Yeah, with different scrub teams.
Okay.
Yep. So it depends on the type of surgery, but you can have what they call simultaneous and sequential procedures with multiple teams. So that's kind of a space that I play in as an educator, helping people to understand and navigate the legalities around how we have to document things, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The longest case I scrubbed for to date was 14 hours with a very short 20-minute break.
Wow. Okay.
But it really depends on the extent of the operation, what's required, so on and so forth. And there's a lot of both surgical and physiological considerations regarding patient care during that time. So in an operating theatre, you would have a minimum of a scrub nurse, a scout, which is the roles that I used to do, they're interchangeable, an anaesthetic nurse, a surgeon, a surgical assistant who can also be a nurse that's done extra training, and an anaesthetist, and you'll also have a theatre orderly who'll come in and out. So at a minimum, you'll have six people and more as the team grows and for more complex procedures.
Okay, and is that where you get to work with the same team again and again, or can that be different, any different?
It depends on the facility. So what I'm finding more and more, and is something I'm quite interested to look at from an educational perspective, maybe something I'll go on and do a PhD about, is how we're actually training our staff, because we used to do a lot of open procedures and so you'd actually see the anatomy. Now we've stepped back to more laparoscopic or minimally invasive types of surgery where you're, you know, it's almost the surgeon's operating but they're using instrumentation through keyhole incisions and we're looking on a screen.
Sure.
And now we're stepping even further back into the robotic space.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, $3 million Da Vinci robots where the surgeon actually sits at a console and operates the robot. So it's not artificially intelligent. It's called a master-slave system.
Okay.
And so how do we actually educate our nurses and doctors to understand? Because it's all very well to do the minimally invasive procedure, but you have to also know the open equivalent in case you've got to emergently open. So surgery is becoming increasingly complex, and I'm getting back to answering your question. What I'm finding now is that nurses are starting to subspecialise. So you would come out, do your generalist training. So I did a rotational graduate program in all of those areas that we spoke about. I went into Scrub Scout, and then I kind of subspecialised again. So I did a lot of colorectal, urology, general surgery, and then you kind of start to become an expert in that area. But you do have transferable skills into other surgical specialties as well.
So I want to touch on that concept of lifelong learning, because that's what we encourage here at Loretto, and we know that is the way of the future, that constant upskilling or pivoting in your career. You spoke about perhaps doing a PhD. It sounds to me like you will do a PhD.
When my kids are a bit older.
Tell us about your qualifications. Like, have you got a master's degree?
I do. So I've done a few things in my time. I've obviously done a Bachelor of Nursing, which is your generalist training to gain registration. Then I've gone on and done a graduate diploma in perioperative nursing. So that's a component of a master's qualification, but in a different area to what I actually did my overall master's in, which is clinical leadership. So both of those degrees serve me well in my current role, because I am in a leadership role and I am a perioperative expert.
What would be the motivator to do a PhD for you?
I'm very self-competitive and I want a floppy hat.
let's unpack that. I really like that concept of being self-competitive, because that can be a real driving force, can't it? So you're not comparing yourself to anybody else. Do you want to unpack that?
Yeah,
for our student listeners.
I think being self-competitive, I've always strived for more. And that's not to say if you don't, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to get to a point and go, I'm happy with this.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not me. I kind of always look to the next thing. Now, that can be a blessing and a curse, because sometimes I get very impatient with where I'm at. And there are times in your life that you need to go through a consolidation phase.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to accept that right now I've kind of reached the pinnacle of my current level without moving up into executive. And I feel like now I'm in a consolidation phase and I need to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. With young children?
Correct.
Is that?
Yes. Yeah. And that is a bit of a limitation as well.
But once you get...
Blossom again.
Yeah. Blossom again. What a wonderful way to put that. When we go through different stages of life, and in your next blossoming phase, doctor.
Yes, but, well, I've never actually been to any of my graduation ceremonies, both due to COVID and because my parents took us on a European holiday, and I was like, I'm going to go on a European holiday.
Of course.
When I finished my Bachelor of Nursing, so thanks, Mum and Dad. But I remember sitting at my sister's graduation ceremony for nursing. She's also a nurse. And I looked at all the PhD people who were graduating, and I was like, I want a floppy hat.
Yep.
So that's been a running joke with my dad and I for years.
I'm sure you'll get there.
Yeah, but what I would actually really like to see, going back to the subspecialising nature of healthcare, and it's endemic throughout the whole system, no matter what area you work in, I would actually like to see more adjunct honours degrees as part of a Bachelor of Nursing. So you come out with generalist nursing experience. That doesn't mean you've done pracs in any particular area that you want to finish up in. So what I would potentially like to do is looking at building a perioperative honours program. Please no one steal this idea before I get to it. So that
lucky we're not on Spotify.
That's true. I trust the Loreto community implicitly. So that, you know, like you start coming out, you've done some study in something that you feel you're really passionate about, and it's not going to guarantee you a job, but it's certainly going to make you a stronger contender. And on the flip side, it makes it easier for us in industry, because people like me who train the new nurses and help to, like, not just me, everyone trains them, but who oversee the training of the new nurses, it means we can kind of start the benchmark a bit higher, and so we can grow our specialists quite a bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where my headspace is, but I'm still chewing over it.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, and on behalf of the Loreto community, thank you for all the work you and your colleagues do in health service.
Pleasure.